Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Today we're going to learn about how the omega-3 fatty acids help lower chronic low-grade infections and inflammation. University of Örebro in Sweden. Let's face it, most Americans, any time of 24 hours, are suffering from some form of low-grade inflammation in the body. A lot have more than low grade, very high grade, making them susceptible to all forms of illnesses. In fact, one of the comorbidities for coronavirus is obesity. In obesity, you have a lot of inflammatory markers and cytokines. So we're going to talk about that. We have a lot more on health to talk about. But also today, we've got such a positive response because we're providing important, real science, peer-reviewed science, expert science, on the truth about what we should be concerned about, what actions we should take to be proactive in protecting ourselves against the coronavirus. We're continuing today. We have three different voices you're going to be hearing. You're going to hear from just a regular person. This is about voiceless victims of the COVID lockdown, from Hannah Maria. She is really spot on. She's not a medical doctor. Then we're going to hear from The Truth About Mortality Rates by a Nobel Prize winner, 19 Facts from the Front Line. But we're also going to have look at a discussion at a press conference in Dublin in the main square. And there, if you go to prn.fm, you can watch all these videos. By the way, as many of you did yesterday to watch the videos that we posted. But this is powerful, because this is one of the most distinguished and credentialed scientists in all of Ireland. And by the way, she has a strong background, and we'll go into it in some depth, with the European Union being one of their lead experts. So we have a lot to share with you, and then we'll be asking you to call in and share your points of view. I'm going to be doing something a little different. Anytime that I hear something that, for me at least, resonates as a truth that we're not told, I'll stop and say, what did this person just say? Otherwise, what happens is some of the people say so many things that are important, we lose track of a lot of it. So this way, we'll focus upon shorter discussions, shorter video tapes, and more of an emphasis of how this can help us. That's our show. Let's go to the latest on health and healing. According to news reporting originating in Örebro, Sweden, researchers stated that chronic low-grade inflammation negatively impacts the health and associated with aging, meaning it speeds up your aging, and obesity, and almost all other health outcomes. Now, I've been saying this for a long time. I've been saying that a large number of immune meditators are present in the, or mediators are present in the digestive tract, meaning the more good bacteria you have, the good gut bacteria, the better your immune function. Therefore, even when you're in toxic environment, you don't become toxic. You're in stressed environments, you don't become stressed. You're on unhealthy people, you don't become unhealthy, because your house is clean, meaning you've got the microbiota in your intestine that reduces inflammation, that strengthens your immune system, and you're taking the probiotics and the omega-3 fatty acids. You're doing a lot of good, especially if you have hypertriglyceridemia or diabetes, if you have overweight conditions. All of that is helped if you have omega-3 fatty acids and good probiotics. From the University of North Carolina comes a study published in this week's British Medical Journal that healthcare systems should use food as medicine interventions. Now, this is radical, not to us, not to you. And this was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. So an analysis recently published in the British Medical Journal argues that for increasing implementation, quote, food as medicine intervention in the healthcare system. Do they have that right? Now, mind you, they're 100 years late, but they got it right. And you've been doing that all along. Or you could put it another way. You have been more responsible for making better and healthier choices to prevent disease and to lengthen your life than how about 99% of the entire medical industrial complex and all of its journals. After all, they're just acknowledging what has been self-evident, but they haven't done. They also state in the New England Journal of Medicine that food insecurity is known to be a health equity issue that disproportionately affects racial and ethnic minorities and those with lower incomes in rural communities, and that's correct. Now, it didn't used to be that way. In fact, when our parents were growing up in the 19-teens and 20s or 30s, many of them came from a rural background, or family members did. I know mine did. And I can remember as a young kid visiting a farm in Little Hawking, Ohio. And when you're a little kid, everything looks bigger than what it actually is. But it just went on and on and on. Orchards of different types of fruit and nut trees. A gigantic barn that was really clean inside. Normally when you go in a barn, you've got all kinds of dust and danders and molds and mildews. This one didn't seem to have that. And barrel upon barrel upon barrel that had labels on it of dried fruits and vegetables. And all this was run by this very thin, very strong great aunt I had. Now, no one seemed to like being around her. I did. I thought she was great. And there she was in her 80s, and she's up in an apple tree, and she's shaking that tree. And she's now, Gary Michael, pick up all those apples. And so they'd all fall down and all meet. And I just watched her. And it was just one of those magical experiences. She had on the apron, and she was just a dynamo. No matter what the problem was, she found a solution. She ran this whole thing herself, her and her son. So nobody wanted to go around her because she put them to work. And nobody wanted to work. So because no one in the larger family any longer lived on a farm. Ironic, since all of our ancestors were Quakers and from the Shenandoah Valley. My family was, and it was called N-O-L-L. It was later changed by someone misspelled it, and then it became N-U-L-L. But anyhow, we came from North Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia, and that whole area of Virginia going clear up through what became West Virginia in 1863 when they seceded. And that was the Shenandoah Valley. And that's where they landed way back in the 1600s, 1700s. Anyhow, but nobody wanted to do any farming except her. But when you walk around the farm, everything was eat this for this, eat this for this. I remember looking in the barn, they had all these little brown bags, paper bags, and they were hanging, and those were dried herbs. And when she was cooking, she would throw different types of herbs in because she wanted people to stay fit. And when she would come into the city, and she came to our house, she'd look at my mom and say, "Blandina, you trying to poison these kids?" Mom would just smile. Mom was so easygoing and loving. And she says, "No." She says, "Well, don't be feeding them this sugar and don't be feeding them this meat. Don't be." She was a vegan, right? She was a vegan. And she had animals, but she had chickens to eat the insects and give the chicken manure fertilizer. And she had cows that grazed down the pastures, gave milk. She was a vegetarian, not a vegan, because she did make dairy and drink milk, and she'd bring us in a gallon of cream on top of this milk. It was delicious. In any case, everything was let food be your medicine. She was right. And she stayed healthy. And look at all the other people today. Everything is instantaneous. It's fast food, fast eating. Everything is fast on the internet. Overwhelmed with input and stimulus. Needless to say, we're not healthy. But now, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the Internal Medicine, Dr. Berkowitz has conducted a number of studies on health-related social needs and their effects on health outcomes. And they're saying, we need to have more food, healthy food, in poor neighborhoods. They're right. In rural neighborhoods, they're right. How in the world did we go from people growing 100, 200 different items on a farm to where they grew just wheat or just soy. And therefore, they had to go to a store to get bread or a store to get eggs because mechanized farming and monotheistic farming, one crop, guaranteed so much per bushel. So why go work all year round when you don't have to work but a few months and harvest your wheat and you get a check? And that started in the 1920s and accelerated by the 1930s. It also meant that created the Great Dust Bowl. There was no longer resting of the soil, crop rotation, no longer growing soybeans, then churning them under in the fall. So that became a plant that would be there releasing its nitrogen over the winter. So when the spring came, you had no erosion and you would have healthier soil. All of the great techniques, the Rudolf Steiner techniques, biodynamic techniques, all those were gone from the early 1930s right up till today. So people getting back to the land, smart. People cultivating the land the right way, good for you. Because mark my words, the two things that Americans are not going to have, and we're going to desperately need them, clean water and a healthy diet and food. Hydroponics, that's the future. Food dehydration, that's the future. Freeze drying, lasting 30 years, that's the future. Knowing you've got plenty of healthy water to drink, that's the future. Anyhow, you got three different journals, British Medical Journal, New England Journal of Medicine, Journal of American Medical Association, all talking about this, that we need more of these healthy foods in our diet so we don't get disease. Now, from Lauriston University of Medical Science in Iran comes a study published in Pharmacological Research that shows when they looked at a meta-analysis, meaning a lot of different studies where you're looking for common denominators, they found that chromium, the little mineral, you don't need much of it, when you take that little bit of chromium, you can end up helping with your blood glucose control, meaning you help diabetes and prediabetes. All right? So get your chromium each day. And they looked at 23 separate randomized controlled trials. And you only need, you know, a couple micrograms of chromium. Not much. So anyhow, and you can get that in most of your multiple vitamin supplements. And also, from Hasselt University in Belgium, researchers found that children raised in greener areas, rural and country areas, they had higher IQs, and they had lower levels of difficult behavior, meaning ADD and ADHD. They were outside playing. We need, as adults and as children, young people, we need more green time. Growing up in a sterile urban environment is not good. Growing up in a green urban environment boosts children's intelligence and lowers levels of difficult behavior. That is what's important. And finally, by the way, and they also say that certain foods, especially oily fish, nuts, and even chocolate, which is all good, is good for the brain, improving brain performance. Positive thinking is also affirms that manifesting something positive because you believe in what you're able to change. And for those who are athletic, Beijing Sports University in China did a study showing D-ribose, R-I-B-O-S-E, is associated with reduction in delayed onset muscle soreness induced by exercise. So you want to have quicker recovery after exercise. 1,000 milligrams of D-ribose, that'll do the trick. So that's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going right into this video. And this is a protest video. And we'll give you the person's background. It's a remarkable background. And then we're going to analyze what she says. We're not going to, it's 34 minutes. We're only going to play about 10. But what's important is look at the camera angles. When someone turns the camera around, there's tens of thousands of people there. Tens of thousands. But what she says is what's important. And then we'll analyze it. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
I'm here to give you information. And I want to be held to account.
If my information is wrong, I will correct it, and I'm asking you to do the research and find out for yourselves. So I'm going to tell you very briefly three things: who I am, and that there is really good news about COVID-19. Number two, if this good news is true, what changes should we be making in Ireland and in the whole world? And number three, that Ireland is actually leading a movement in the whole world to set these changes on fire. I'll talk a little bit more at the end, but I just wanted to acknowledge, first of all of you for coming, all of our good friends in the police for keeping us safe today, ensuring this is a peaceful protest with lots of hope and lots of love. The opposite of fear is love. They want you to be afraid. You have to love yourselves, love each other, and love Ireland. We are the change. Truth and freedom. Truth and freedom. I'd like to pay tribute as well to a few people who have came from straight away to help me, and they include Eamon, they include Tracy O'Mahony, and most of all Dr. De Bruin, who's here today, and Una McGurk, and all of the other people. Some of them might want to remain anonymous, but there has been lots of barristers, lots of solicitors, and scientists and doctors, so fair play to them. So just briefly on me, my name is Dolores Cahill, molecular biologist and immunologist. I set up a company from 1997 to 2019, and for all of my research career has been about early diagnosis of disease to reduce symptoms and keep people healthy, not to sell drugs, not to make money. Integrity, and for 15 years I've been a professor, for 10 years I was on the Government Advisory Science Council, and for 15 years I've been advising the EU as an expert. I'm only telling you that because my expertise is not just in science, but actually looking at the impacts of government policy in science, innovation, and education on all of society. And as doctors, scientists, and in public health, we all, and the government and politicians, have a duty to look at the harm as well as the benefits of everything that they implement. And what they're doing is not considering the harm from the lockdown versus the deaths associated with COVID-19, and this is wrong. So we need to choose truth, choose freedom, and tell them, no, this is wrong. So, the good news about COVID-19 is that it is a coronavirus, but the death rate, when it was announced, is 4,200 out of 7 billion in the whole wide world. So that means from December 2019 to the 11th of March 2020, 4,200 people died. So every death, of course, is a tragedy. And every unnecessary death is not just a tragedy, but it's almost a crime. And why we're here today is to say there has been unnecessary deaths, and we want to make sure that in this flu season, in the winter of 2020 and 2021, there will be no more unnecessary deaths. And this information has to get out. So truth and freedom. So the real figures of death in Ireland is there is one death under 25. So, and that looks to be someone of the age of 17. So there is therefore no justification for the schools to be closed. Michael Levitt, Nobel Prize winner, said that all of the deaths are people with either one, two, or three underlying conditions, and they would have died in a month anyway. So therefore, people who have died, there are less than 20 people in Ireland who died in the whole 6 months under 55. Less than 110 under 65 and 1,100 out of the whole country. But it will be 10 to 20 times more people that will die because of the lockdown, not because of COVID-19. So we have to end the lockdown. But the really good news is that there are treatments available so that there will be less deaths for other flu seasons in all the years to come. This is good news. This is good news. The treatments are inhaled steroids, ivermectin, and of course, as highlighted by the American frontline doctors, hydroxychloroquine. So hydroxychloroquine is used as a prevention and an early treatment. It costs 10 cents to make, and you can get it for 40 cents. It has a half-life of 3 weeks. So if you want to prevent yourself from having even symptoms of flu in the future, you just need one tablet of hydroxychloroquine every month. Cool. So the thing is, if there is a bond between scientists, doctors, public health officials, civil servants, the politicians, and you who pay our salaries. And if there is a treatment for a disease that is one of the essential medicines of the world, Dr. Simon Gold of American Frontline Doctors and all those doctors have said it is a magic bullet. In 50 years of adverse event reporting of the FDA in America, it's one of the safest drugs. It can and always has been given to pregnant women, breastfeeding women, children, and the elderly, and the adverse events were overinflated. So we have a treatment. We don't need the lockdown. So I've spent 2 months on this report, which will be announced next week. But there is a graph there from World Data that the countries who gave hydroxychloroquine have much less deaths. The countries, including Ireland, that did not make hydroxychloroquine available are among the highest numbers of deaths. We need hydroxychloroquine. So truth and freedom, we need this health information. So this is the basis of what the changes should be to policy in Ireland and in the world. Because it would be like if someone had discovered an antibiotic and people were dying of pneumonia in Ireland back in the 20s and 30s. There was huge information that this antibiotic was safe and effective, but people were still dying of pneumonia. And people were well aware that this was happening, that are preventable deaths, and the people who are not allowing health information to be available should be held to account. The media, RTE, the journalists, and the politicians. So I am asking you to do something today, because everyone says, you know, what can you do? What you have to do today is to go home and talk to your families, but write a letter to your doctor, your GP, and say, in September, October, are you going to prescribe hydroxychloroquine to the elderly in the care homes and the people at risk? And you know, someone of you would be interesting that we should have a register, not only of the doctors that are prescribing, but write to the Irish Medicines Organization, the Minister for Health, every one of your TDs, and the Taoiseach to say, are you going to make an essential medicine, one of the safest medicines in the world, approved by the FDA over 50 years ago, available to the elderly and the sick? And if you're not, why not? If you're not, why not? Hydroxychloroquine should be made available. This is freedom and truth.
Okay, so she's made several comments there. Richard Gale, our executive producer, is on the line. Richard, by the way, has a strong background in science, genetic engineering, and came from the belly of the beast of the Silicon Valley companies that were engaged in all this, and he just decided to leave that behind. He's a graduate with advanced degrees, and we're researching all the time. In fact, if anybody ever came by the Tri-State Healing Center, our office at 2307 Broadway, at 83rd and Broadway for the last 27 years, you would have seen me upstairs, and then since Richard's been there, the two of us, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning, we're researching and talking. His office beside mine. Richard's on the phone now. Hi, Richard.
Oh, good afternoon, Gary.
Let's deconstruct what she was saying and its significance. And mind you, this big speech, and you saw how many thousands upon thousands of people were, it was a sea of people. Not a word in the American media, not one single word. And she's been scrubbed off Google and Facebook as if they have they've eliminated her voice, because she is a heavyweight academic, professor, scientist with multiple disciplines, biochemistry and molecular biology and in immunology, published many peer-reviewed journals, and is a top science advisor for the European Union. So what did you make of that, please?
Well, as far as her website and her talks being scrubbed, we're discovering this everywhere right now. I mean, so many people are being scrubbed off of the internet, and that actually raises another big question, which whether you want to entertain it right now or not, we could, and that's who's really benefiting from all this. You know, this is
who tell the audience who you believe is benefiting.
Who's financially benefiting? The two big ones, the big gainers, are Amazon and Netflix. Those are the two your Silicon Valley companies. They're the ones that are most benefiting. And so, of course, opening up the economy, opening up schools, opening up stores, restaurants, large gatherings, all the sport facilities and all. This is a threatens them. The others are the banks are benefiting because it's helping them move towards a digital currency, and therefore the credit industry is benefiting immensely. Visa, MasterCard, you know, Amex, all these companies that are involved with electronic payments are just having a killing from this. We know that big pharma is benefiting. The health insurance is benefiting. Cloud companies. Now, cloud companies are, because of people working from home, they're making a killing. So because people are working from home, companies like Citrix that specialize in remote working technologies. But then look at the big companies that are involved in the cloud. Cloud computing and cloud companies, Amazon with their web series, Microsoft with its program Azure, Google Cloud, they're all making a killing. All the entertainment companies, again, when you're looking at entertainment companies, we're back with the big boys, Microsoft's, Xbox, you know, Google's Studio, and on top of all this, then the telecommunications company, the push for 5G makes it, I mean, when all of this stuff is kind of in place, 5G even becomes all the more important and benefits all these other companies for their being able to have much greater access not only to our information, but to do what they do, you know, with their own industries.
So Richard, there's something else to be... Thank you. No, that's good. But there's something else here. She's talking about her research with hydroxychloroquine, the people she works with who are doing well with hydroxychloroquine, the doctors she's working with. I've seen her in another couple of interviews, and she kept referring to frontline doctors. And just so you don't or may not be aware of it, the frontline doctors we featured on this program, they were all in front of the Supreme Court. They were on their white doctor coats, and they had a long press conference. But then one person turned the camera around and there was no one there, just a handful of people. None of them were from the networks. All the networks knew this press conference was occurring. They chose not to cover it. Now, mind you, these are not alternative doctors. These are mainstream board-certified physicians who risk their career. In fact, some have lost their jobs because they appeared there. In fact, of the hundreds and hundreds of American physicians who've been using the steroids inhaler that has very high success rate and very safe, hydroxychloroquine, there are three common drugs that are available. But if you start promoting these, then there's no need for a vaccine, and there's certainly no need for an experimental drug that is going to cost thousands of dollars for the treatment series that's patented. That's Moderna's drug, which Bill Gates is in on and Anthony Fauci supports, and even Trump is promoting. So on the one hand, we have a way of realizing not everyone's dying of this. We were given the wrong statistics, and therefore public policy to quarantine people is based on false information. And that is overwhelmingly true now. Nobel Prize winners, several, have come out and said they misread the statistics. And Sweden and four other countries have very low, including Japan, have very low death rates because they have been practicing proper hygiene for a long time. In Japan, it's one of the cleanest countries in the world. If you ever eat in a Japanese restaurant, they're immaculately clean. But they also, on a personal level, they've been wearing masks for a long time. In any case, no one pays attention to them. But the entirety of the American media, all the American media is attacking anyone suggesting hydroxychloroquine is good, especially the combination with the zinc and the antibiotic. But yet, when we looked at how many actual good quality studies exist, what was the number? 66 separate studies? And the vast majority of those show positive outcome. Now, you will get some that show negative outcome, and but you have to look at the dosage they were taking and what stage they were giving. No one suggests that someone who is at the advanced stage in critical care should be given hydroxychloroquine. But then right now, they have nothing to give them. They could be giving them vitamin C drips. They're not going to do that because the Chinese did that and found a remarkable improvement. No one died in their studies in China, two separate hospitals. So we're only told by the media that there's only one approach, and that is the official approach of Anthony Fauci, but he has been wrong about so many things in his career. All the time he's wrong. And yet they follow him, just like they followed Comey, who was not a friend of the people and certainly not the justice for minorities and others, and yet suddenly they followed him. So the media has been compromised so much that there's no value in it. So give us your thoughts on what you've read on the actual good quality science on hydroxychloroquine, then we're going to go to another clip.
Right. Well, we discussed this a little bit yesterday, but one of the most important studies was this recent one that came out of Detroit that, as you referred to, there were the 51 global studies that showed the positive results and 16 that showed negative. It was a mega survey analysis, and 16 that showed negative. However, 10 of those negative ones, 10 of those 16, only were giving the HCQ to very late stages of coronavirus. And the research shows that it can be is best used as a prophylactic, you know, to take it once a month or whatever, to be able to prevent as a preventive from contracting COVID, or catching it in its early stages, which is what China has done, South Korea and many other countries, Greece, Turkey, Malaysia, Cuba. They've all been using it very early stages. So you don't waste time with other things. You jump right into it, and then you're fine.
Also now, the science is use it as a combo therapy with the zinc and two different antibiotics. But some of the original studies, that was very high dose, 2,400 milligrams, and that's going to be toxic to your heart.
Right.
And so they held on to those, but then they had to retract two negative studies, one from the British Medical Journal, The Lancet, and the other from New England Journal of Medicine. The media was all, you see, it's toxic. No, both of those were fraudulent studies. They had to be retracted. So that shows gross bias. So that shows the fix is in. Now, here's something else that just came out today. Quote, infectious disease expert and University of Edinburgh professor Mark Woolhouse acknowledged that the decision to lock down in March, quote, was a crude measure that was enacted because we couldn't think of anything else better. The lockdown was a panic measure, and I believe history will say trying to control COVID-19 through a lockdown was a monumental mistake. On a global scale, the cure was worse than the disease. He also said, quote, I never want to see national lockdown again, end quote. Quote, it was always a temporary measure that simply delayed the stage of the epidemic we see now. It was never going to change anything fundamentally. I believe the harm lockdown is doing in our education, healthcare access, and broader aspects of our economy and society will turn out to be at least as great as the harm done by COVID-19, end quote. Now, mind you, he is a heavyweight, you know, this particular Professor Mark Woolhouse, but he's not alone. Professor Richard Sullivan, professor of cancer, King's College London, previously warned that there will be more excess cancer deaths over the next 5 years than the number of people who die from coronavirus in the United Kingdom due to the disruption caused by the coronavirus lockdown, which is preventing cancer victims from getting treatment. Figures also show that there were more excess deaths during the 2017 and 18 flu season, around 50,000 excess deaths in Great Britain, than the total number of people in the United Kingdom who have died from coronavirus, which is 41,433. So let's just take a look. Now you have top leading professors, scientists in public health, epidemiology, virology, saying this was all wrong. All wrong. Everything we did was wrong. They're not denying the virus. They're not denying the virus can kill people. But they're saying that our approach of locking everyone up is what caused massive, massive harm. Because if you're a heart disease patient, if you need surgery, if you have dementia, and dementia has been grossly understated and the deaths from it, these people are dying at an accelerated rate because they weren't allowed into hospital. In fact, a lot of places wouldn't allow sick people in because everything was COVID, COVID, COVID. And the stupidity was that healthy people were going into hospitals, long lines of them, to see if they had the COVID. They were being kept in the hospital till the results came back. And they were kept in wards where they were active COVID patients. Think of the insanity of that. That is mind-bogglingly stupid. And New York hospitals were particularly vulnerable to this, where nurses said, hey, we had all these people come in, they were tested, they didn't go home. They had to go in a ward for 10 days. During that time, the people in the ward had COVID, they got COVID. Now they're on ventilators. So this is what we're faced with, and I'm very concerned. Now, but at least these voices are coming out. We're hearing from them. And here's another voice that I think that people must know. These voices are out there. This is let's just see what the title this is. This is A Voiceless Victims of COVID Lockdown, Hannah Maria. And by the way, Hannah Maria has devoted her entire postdoctoral work to helping people get it as healthy as they can. And she's working for the DuPont Nutrition and Biosciences as a senior scientist and technical lead on infant health platforms. And so she has a strong background. in food chemistry, and here's what she has to say. Please listen to what she has to say. She's speaking on behalf of just average people.
Hi, dear friends, and beloved greetings from the Andalusia Mountains again. Today, I want to talk about the voiceless victims of the COVID lockdown. Now, just recently, I actually met a German animal rights activist, and I said to her, wow, Germans have really become super strong in their human rights activism right now. And she said to me, yeah, I know, I don't support it. I was a bit taken aback, and I was like, what, you don't support human rights? And she said, oh, no, I do, but I don't support these anti-COVID protests. And I was like, ah, okay. Straight away, it just became clear to me that she had fallen prey to the mainstream media narrative of those of us who stand for human rights and liberty. Because according to them, we are all just a bunch of right-wing conspiracy theorists and neo-Nazis. Which, of course, couldn't be further from the truth, because truth is not politically flavored, and no one single party has monopoly on truth, whether it's left, right, or center. You know, truth stands alone, sovereign, eternal, and immutable. And anybody can discover truth with logic, reason, and heart wisdom, that inner knowing. But it requires openness. So it was clear that this woman had not discovered or considered the dehumanizing effects and severe human rights violations of the lockdown, this sanitary dictatorship. And you know, I actually come across this quite a lot, where people will not even look at what you're pointing at. They will not even consider, they will not even listen to you, because it's as if the evidence that you have is too dangerous for them. It's too big of a risk for them to come to agree with you, agree with somebody that they perceive to be too far away from their ideologies, from their worldview. So it's safer for them to just put their blinkers on, just look away. But thankfully, actually, this individual, this woman, was open. And she sincerely asked me, well, what is your take on this then? And I said to her, the voiceless victims, let's talk about it. Did you know that there are now 10 million children in South America who are starving directly because of the government ordered police and military enforced lockdown? You know, their primary source of food was school meals. But now the schools are shut down. Who is going to be held accountable for this? Are we just going to close our eyes from this? Pretend that it's not happening? Because it's an inconvenient consequence to the narrative to save people from a flu-like illness, a respiratory illness. And let's not forget, the so-called coronavirus does not actually even pose a risk to children. So why shut down schools? You know, I've lived in the Amazon rainforest for several years, and there's always epidemics of the dengue fever, malaria, and even Zika in certain areas. But they've never before shut down the schools or people's workplaces. Why not? I'd like to find somebody who can explain to me why not. If the lethality of malaria is far, far, far higher than this so-called COVID-19, why haven't they done the lockdowns before? Who decides which diseases or illnesses become a weaponized political war game? Have you ever stopped to think what happens when you forcefully take the livelihoods out of hundreds of millions of people? You create generational consequences. A tidal wave of poverty. You know that in the United States alone, now 20 million people are in danger of being evicted. They're in danger of losing their homes. And there's already an epidemic of homelessness. I don't know if you've ever been to the States, but there are entire tent cities, and people don't know what to do about this. Now there's 20 million more waiting to be kicked out from their homes because their work was forcefully taken away from them to protect people from a virus that has a 99.991% survival rate globally. Because the death per capita global rate is actually 0.009%. That's the real number. Can you see how COVID-19 has become a way to wage war and increase the gap between the rich and the poor even more than what it's already been? It's a weaponized agenda. You know, suicide rates are skyrocketing. Domestic abuse, child abuse, even homicides, skyrocketing as people are spiraling down into despair. What do you do when everything gets taken away from you? You become like an angry animal driven into a corner, ready to rip someone's head off. That's what's being done. That's what's being done. What about the people who were denied medical care and their non-COVID-related treatments and surgeries were cancelled? Do you know that in Germany alone, 90% of all necessary operations were actually cancelled during the pandemic? 90%. And this is now leading up to 125,000 individuals to die as a consequence. These people are human beings too. Who is defending their right to life and medical care? Who is listening to them? What about the elderly people? That was the whole guilt-laced justification for the entire pandemic. That we need to save the old people. Well, what kind of protection is imprisonment? Forced isolation. You know, that's a torture method. I'd like to know how many people died out of sheer desperation and fear alone in the nursing home because they were deprived from sunlight, fresh air, and human contact. How many people had to die alone with nobody by their bedside because the sanitary regulations were considered more important than a dignified farewell? I saw a picture of a man holding a sign outside the hospital saying, "My son is dying. I want to see my son." And he was not allowed to enter. People, where is your heart? Can you not see? This is inhumane. How many mothers had to give birth alone? How many fathers were deprived of being there for the birth of their child?
Okay, that's another voice. And we don't hear those voices, do we? We hear Anthony Fauci's voice, a protected little diminutive bureaucrat, the most powerful scientist in America currently. We hear from a White House moronic. We hear from the CDC, utterly corrupt. The World Health Organization, also corrupt. But we don't hear these voices. You've been played. Everyone's been played. And now Virginia just said that they're going to have mandatory COVID vaccines. New York is not only going to make mandatory COVID vaccines, but now in New York, just listen carefully. If you live in New York, you're a registered voter, they will be coming for you, not just for COVID, but based upon new bills that they're submitting for adults, for a whole variety of vaccines that you'll have to have, and children. Without parental consent, you won't know that your child is being forcibly vaccinated. That's how draconian of a police state New York has become. That's why so many people are leaving the damn state, and California as well. Smartly done. Richard, your final thoughts on that? What that woman was saying?
That was a powerful clip. Yeah, very powerful clip. Well, it comes down to ethics, Gary, and you speak so often, and we speak about spiritual ethics, and she was speaking from a very deep spiritual inspiration, what we heard her speak about, and this is, it's not just a question of our own freedoms, it's also dealing with what's happening, I think, with the pandemic is that humans are losing their personal dignity. We can almost think of it as that. When you're being stripped of so even just your freedom of movement, we're not made to live this way. This is just even as animals, let alone as human beings. And so I think this is her message is very important for us to listen to.
It is.
That's not the interest of people's bank accounts.
That's right. The rich, look at the powerful people, the George Soros, the Bill Gates, the major corporations. They have made tens of billions of dollars just since the COVID, because they know how to play the system. And now they have an opportunity to make hundreds of billions, if not trillions, with these new vaccines and drugs, none of which are going to be shown to be safe, let alone, I doubt, effective. And even now they're saying, oh, well, the vaccine isn't the end of it. And just yesterday, the head of the World Trade Organization said, oh, this is going to go on for a long time. Now they're saying this is going to be for years. I'm looking at America now. We've went from 1932 Germany to 1934 Germany. Better pay attention to what went on in Germany, because this is going on here now. Tomorrow, we'll be playing additional clips, including tomorrow, Richard, we're going to play that Nobel Prize winner, Stanford University, having a discussion about how all the figures were wrong. And he proved they were all wrong. Now, several other epidemiologists, mathematicians are saying, you are right. For example, in Great Britain, they now acknowledge the government was off by almost 50%, 47 to 51%. Of deaths that were from COVID were not from COVID. They were from other conditions. But if you went to a hospital in Great Britain and you died of a stroke or a cancer or a heart attack, it was listed as COVID. That would mean that if you took out all of these non-COVID deaths, you don't have a pandemic. You don't even have an annual flu season. Now, that is not to suggest that COVID-19 is not a serious condition. It is. But I'm saying that the flu is a serious condition, too. It kills tens of thousands of people in America each year. But we haven't locked anything down because of the flu each year. And this was just a massive mistake, what they did. And we have treatments they're not telling us about. We have a way of preventing it they're not telling us about. It's just wearing masks and, you know, sanitation. Super simplistic notions so they can reach in and control us from the mechanisms of the state. So we're fighting back. Tomorrow we will continue fighting back. Thank you very much, Richard.
All right, you're welcome, Gary.
We have another article coming out on this. We've written two more articles. One will be out in the next 2 days. Good news, it just dropped at the end of the show here. For those of you who've been waiting for your green stuff, we just now got it in. And for those of you who don't know about green stuff, well, unless you're eating all of your green vegetables every day, then this could be something very important to you. And this is organic kale and organic barley grass. By the way, people never pay attention to barley grass. Wheatgrass they do, but not barley grass. And barley grass, to me, is far superior. Also spinach, parsley, carrots, oat-beta-glucan, asparagus, spirulina, celery, onions, cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, radishes, broccoli sprouts, collard greens, apples, with a wonderful pineapple flavor. It is vegan. We have a lot of organic ingredients in here. It's brand new, by the way. This is a new formulation. It tastes different, too, because I personally didn't care for the last taste. Too much onion, so that's gone. Onion's still there, but I found a way of taking another one of the nutrients in there and giving more of it. So it's just green stuff. It's the number one for, 27 years, the number one product that I've invented. And we had to go all over the place to find the ingredients because of how everything's been bought up by the major companies and using. So small little people like myself, we really had to be creative. But we found our sources, and we just got 5,000 bottles in. We'd normally get 1,000 bottles in. So you can call our number, and today you're getting a special. You're going to get green stuff, big jar, 500 grams. But then you're also going to get free a shopping and cooking healthily DVD documentary. My daughter Shelley and I, she'll see her in it. I show you how to shop. I'll show you how to cook and prepare food to maximize the nutrient value of the food and to make it more interesting and creative. Shelley does the same. So it's $124 value for just $79.99. You're saving $44.99. Here's the number you call if you want to get this green stuff special. And everybody should have this because this is the one thing everybody should have every day. Now, I have a lot. I have like 9 different stuffs every morning in a blender. And then on top of that, I put in some walnuts or almonds or walnut or almond butter. But here's the number you call to get your green stuff. And it is 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And one last thing. Hey, something new. We are now opening up our new vitamin closet. Neil will be there. And it is downtown. It is on 35th Street, right one block from the subway. Those of you coming from Queens and Brooklyn and Lower Manhattan and Southern New Jersey, much quicker and easier to get to than the Upper West Side. We're going to be open 7 days a week from noon till 8 p.m. at night. And we have everything there. So if you can't write the address down, you can call our number at the office and get the address. So as of tomorrow, not today, as of tomorrow, Neil will be there. He's been running our vitamin closet uptown for a long time. And now he's down in our office as of tomorrow. It'll be open 7 days a week. And you can call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422, and get the address. And that way you'll get, it's easy to get to. And it's never crowded down there. Now it's like nobody's there, so it's nice and safe. 7 days a week, and that's where we have our vitamin closet and some new products coming up. All right, so that's good. And go to our prn.fm and look at the video bios. More on the video bios tomorrow, but I've got 21 separate bios on the history of my work in different fields. I put that up there for the first time in my 53-year career because I wanted to show the public what, for political or ideological reasons, that the people over Wikipedia are refusing to acknowledge any of that. They get one and show nothing that I've actually done and achieved, but they're doing the same thing to everyone else that they're attacking because we're the leaders of the health movement and therefore try to destroy the messenger with the good news, and therefore nobody will hear the good message, only their message. So this is at the same time that we're sending out this voluminous letter of names. I mean, so many names from all over the world, all these Nobel Prize winners and professors, top people from deans of college, all this, they're all coming on board, signing up. You see their name, their background, And this is going out every day to the 500 donors of Wikipedia saying, walk away from Wikipedia. Here's the truth about Wikipedia, and we provide that truth. We also have 74 articles providing the truth. But I'm using myself as the example. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Deepak Chopra, everybody's waiting to see what happens with me, and then they're going forward too. Tens of thousands are waiting. Tens of thousands of clinicians are waiting to see what happens. So I've used myself as an example, the human guinea pig. I'm the canary in the coal mine. So if I'm showing everything about my background, that I've mastered all these fields, not just do something in a field, I mean like lifetime achievement awards, top at the field, in all these different professions. I've never bragged about this. I live a completely different concept when it comes to humility. That's what my mother taught me. But these are real achievements. You should know about this. And most importantly, watch the film and share it with everyone you know on AIDS is not a death sentence, because that's the main way that they attack me. Oh, Gary Null is an AIDS denier. No, let's be clear. Gary Null is the only person on the planet to cure 18 people with full-blown AIDS. And here's all the medical documentation. Here's the patient records. Here's Tony Brown in the major media, all African-American media, covering the story. Why don't you look at that truth? By the way, all these documents are all going to be presented as evidence in upcoming court cases, because we have a massive series of lawsuits we're about to launch within the next 2 weeks. So in any case, educate yourself about the truth. All right? Have a nice day.